You're listening to On Air with Doug, Jen, and Victoria.
Howdy, and your daily way of sort of a wake-up call in a manner of speaking. 7 after the hour, the DJV experience with Doug, Jen, and Victoria. Coming up, a television report. What's the fate of Bill O'Reilly? And will there be a Hollywood writers' strike? Jennifer will have what you can expect on television tonight. In order for us to do our job, I think, and we never really collaborate. We have meetings every once in a while to talk about what's on the program. But what you get is a sense here. The top adventure of the day is based on what makes you happy. And, you know, every once in a while we laugh about the things that we do that are not necessarily aimed at the good side of things. But, you know, Victoria will keep me on the straight and narrow. That's a horrible way to start the hour with that piece of bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about firing squads.
Yeah. What is it that brings out the child in you? Jennifer.
Firing squads.
Yeah, firing squads.
The reason I'm thinking about this is because we just did a story about a new kind of exercise routine that will help you lose weight. And it's from a Native American experience. And it's called a powwow dance. And as I said to Kara about 4 hours ago, can you find me Powwow the Pony?
Uh-oh.
There's a song. Yeah, yeah. And I used to have it. I know we played it because it was actually kind of a Christmas song done by a guy who was a friend of mine who was a television personality in Boston named Rex Traylor, who had a show for children for 25 years. And he did a lot of recording. And one of the songs was Powwow the Pony. So it brought me back to thinking about when I was a kid. And that's the thing that is most productive. I think all of us, if we were honest and admitted to ourselves that when we have our best moments, we are thinking about the child within, the childhood experiences that we've had. When you are a child, you enjoy the wonder, the business about being carefree. How many of you think about, I've had this conversation so many times with Meredith, what she would do as a child in the neighborhood. They'd go outside after school and they'd play until it was dark. And the mother would yell, "Dinner's ready!" And that was how we used to spend our time. I didn't, because I was on the farm. But a lot of children that I know used to do that. There was never after school, like, what do we do with ourselves? And as soon as they were able, everybody had a job. And there was a good deal of social interaction. It was kind of fun. But being, like, playing in the sandbox, or just being able to discover things and have fun. We don't do that now. Kids are the helicopter business. Everybody's watching every second. And kids got to have a cell phone. Mother calls 15 times. "You okay, Johnny? You okay?" Let him fall down and bruise his knee, or, you know, whatever it is, get dirty. I tell the story frequently about me taking Miles out for the first time by myself and having to go jump in a sand pile and get dirty. He stick his hand on the inner brake of the car and got it all greasy. And I brought him back to the restaurant, and his father's horrified. And it's just, you know, you wander off and explore. That's what being a child is about. And we lose it sometimes. And now more than ever, we have this thing in front of us that keeps us from thinking and exploring and having fun. Jump on a bicycle and fall off. You know, I'm not looking for misery here, but it's a way to learn. It is. Nobody taught me how to be a child. And you've said to me, Jennifer, on any number of occasions that you didn't think I had a childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
I have. Yeah. Well, I know that you, I don't know if I've ever said it that way, but I know that when you have an alcoholic parent, that robs you of your childhood.
Right.
Yes.
So that's why I am the way I am as an adult. I'm pretty foolish. I'm pretty silly. If given my bent, I would screw off on the radio all the time if I could get away with it. I haven't quite figured out. But I'm like that because I think I missed it as a child. So that, and by the way, that affects my relationships. Unless you have somebody else that you have a relationship with that is childlike as well. Mm-hmm. And that means that's good and bad in terms of how you handle situations. But if you weren't a child when you were supposed to be a child, oftentimes when you grow up, you'll revert back to being a child. And I don't think that's all bad. We have so much serious stuff. I mean, look at the headlines every day. It's this horror and that horror. Let's just have some fun. So, and I don't know whether it's immediate gratitude or is it happiness, and are the two one and the same? Victoria, do you think that having gratitude and being happy, not gratitude, what was the word I used? Not gratitude, but if whatever the experience that is about being happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the time you spent with Lewis. So I can tell the way you talk about your parents. You love going to visit your parents' house.
Yeah, I do.
Makes you happy.
I'm lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. Jennifer loves to be with her parents. Makes her happy. When her parents are together, it doesn't make them happy, but it makes Jennifer happy. She's with them individually. And so, Karen, I can tell by you talking about your father. I don't hear you talk much about your mother, but I hear you talk about your father, and I can tell that you have fun with him. You've got a new niece. Your sister's married, and you know, all those things are fun.
And also, if my mom's listening, I love you, too.
Hi, Mom.
I don't want her to get the short stick.
You could send me her Christmas gift if you want, Mom. Yeah. I'll talk about you.
Hi, Mom. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
It's just pick something that'll make you happy today. You don't always be angry about stuff. We can find
things. Go to Disneyland. That's where everybody feels childlike again, right?
No, I don't think so.
I get angry at Disney.
No, I don't.
Do you?
Standing in long lines.
Yeah, all those lines.
I mean, I've only been when I was a kid, so I don't know if I could handle it as an adult.
You guys are party poopers.
I think that there are... I'll tell you one thing that I spend a few minutes on every day. Not a lot of time, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. Going to my Facebook page. Now, I didn't used to do this, but I found this group, this community of people who are sort of my friends. Some of them I've actually gotten to know through Facebook in a way. And I like sharing most of the stuff, although I look at the people who share my stuff. And I find it rewarding. And as I say, most of them are about animals. Most of the video and stuff that I post has to do either with relationships or with animals. And it's nice. It's gratifying to see some of these people and actually folks that I haven't heard from for a long time that are connected to me. And I feel like I'm more connected with them now. Is that strange? So where you hear me often decrying the use of the tools, the iPads, the iPhones, all that stuff that's around us that seems to distract us. The other side of it is, the good side of it is, that you, at least in my experience, and I bet all of you have this somewhat, you've been reconnected with people. Maybe that you haven't. I've reminded about birthdays of people that I care about, and then I'll send them a quick happy birthday. You know, that's kind of nice. And then they'll share. My friend Ted, whose birthday was the other day, called me on Easter, and we talked for about 15 or 20 minutes. I haven't had a chat with him since Christmas time. And I love his company. He's a wonderful human being. And so that's the kind of stuff that not only makes you happy, but probably if you really are to analyze it, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but it'll probably give you some inner strength, inner gratitude, hope. I mean, there are a lot of people who keep saying we're in uncertain times. I think that's overrated. But, you know, it still is nice to have an island to go to. And it's you know, if you have somebody in your life that makes, or not makes you happy, but you're happy around, even better, whether it's somebody your own age, opposite sex, whatever, grandchildren, maybe you've got a number of people. But I just think that it's, think about the stuff today and the people who will make you happy. And the number one thing that I get out of Jennifer and Victoria being here is that they are happy and they enjoy each other's company. They enjoy, thankfully, my company. I enjoy their company. And most of all, you enjoy their company. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here to talk about it. So, in terms of whose company you enjoy, if you like Bill O'Reilly's company, you may be too late on that. Maybe the end of the road for the big O. We'll find out about that in a moment here as Jennifer brings us up to date on what you may be wanting to watch tonight, plus that story and the writer's strike. What'll that do to TV? 16 past the hour on the DJB Experience. All right, let's get to our television report. First of all, Bill O'Reilly, who wants to take this one?
I guess I could, amid all of these sexual allegations against Bill O'Reilly. He decided to take a vacation to Italy, and he's supposed to come back on Monday. Now it looks like maybe he won't. Reports are out that the Murdoch family is looking at dissolving.
Dissolving. They're running the company now.
Yeah. Well, that are dissolving the relationship with Bill O'Reilly, who they just re-signed for $18 million a few weeks ago. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
For 3 years. So they're going to have to pay him $60 million to get rid of him.
Just to get rid of him. So this is why I think it's kind of a weird decision by the Murdoch family. I mean, Rupert wants to keep him. One of the sons wanted to keep him as well. It was the son, I believe, James, who wanted to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And James turned to Lachlan and said, look, we need to do this. We need to get rid of him. And so it seems that that's the direction that they're going. But they haven't denied or confirmed yet at Fox.
So where does he go? What's a good home for O'Reilly?
Don't ask me that question.
Well, but you see the impact of him. The ratings on that hour down 25%.
And it didn't matter. Even with the allegations, people were still watching him.
I mean, people aren't paying attention. This is a way of getting rid of somebody. This is a way of quieting a voice that some people don't like. Just another one of those turns in the road where you try to silence somebody whose opinion you don't like. That's what this is all about. And, you know, whether he's a pig or he isn't a pig, he still gets an audience. So he's going to get an audience someplace else. Where does he go? Anybody got any ideas?
I don't know. Maybe to one of the streaming channels. I mean, that would be a big get for them because they would bring an audience that wouldn't be too quick to cross over. So,
like,
I mean, maybe that would be a possibility.
Video,
obviously,
serious. That
I don't think CNN or MSNBC would pick him up.
Nope.
So that might be the only other choice.
Yeah. All right, Jen. What do we have that's good tonight that you recommend? What do you expect that's good
tonight
on TV tonight?
How about Survivors, Game Changers? That's at 8 p.m. on CBS. Also, a new installment of Nova airs on PBS at 9. There's an archaeological excavation in the Lithuanian city of Vilnius. How about that? It's known as the Jerusalem of the North until the Nazis began a Holocaust. So you can check that out. Fargo is new on FX at 10. And also, if you like The Property Brothers, 9 o'clock, brand new episode, HGTV.
All right, that's the story from Jen, 21 after the hour here on DJV. I'm Doug, along with Victoria and Kara. It's the DJV experience. Jay has gone to her other... have you ever been called V?
Yeah, all my friends call me V.
Vicky. You don't like Vicky at all.
I do
not. And you're not a Vicky anyway. You don't look like it.
Thank
you.
You
don't sound like it. No, you don't.
I know.
You don't.
No, all my friends call me V.
Yeah, right. Okay, so V.
Yeah.
So it's V and C and D. Wait a minute. Let's do this alphabetically. Uh-oh, we put Kara first, though, if that's the case.
That's how I like it.
C, D, and V. Uh-huh. Coming up, the ladies are going to enjoy, but I don't, you know, I think... This is what happens sometimes. You get into these beauty tip departments, and the men say, oh, I don't. If you're smart guys, you'll listen to this information, and perhaps you'll be smart enough after you hear it to buy something. If there's a suggestion of something you ought to buy here, you get the lady in your life a present. Duh. Okay, Mother's Day is coming up. Duh. So perhaps you'd... I want to get at it. I get this question all the time from people. How do we find you if the radio station only carries a couple of hours? This program's always actually on for 6 hours a day. And you do your weekend farm show and the health show and the countdown. Where do we find all of these things? Well, you can listen while we're on the air to the DJV show.com.
Yep.
Radio America, CRN, TalkStream Live. GCN carries it, but the podcast, some of the things that are separated out, like we're working off the air on this podcast of the ladies in their conversation off air. It's called Off Air, and we're going to get that up as a podcast. It'll appear in places like TuneIn Radio and Stitcher Radio and Blog Talk Radio. TuneIn Radio, I think, is a great place, actually. I find that to be a very intriguing. That's where you go to find all kinds of radio folks. There's a 24-hour Doug Steffen channel there. You can find out all kinds of things or listen to all kinds of things there, including our specials on food and food news. Here's why the time you eat dinner actually makes a difference. I need to pay close attention to this because I do not do a good job of eating dinner. I actually, when I'm by myself, and that's most of the time these days, so I stand up at the counter and eat. When I'm on the air, I have fruit and that sort of thing during the course of the program. Then afterwards, I'll take my vitamins and maybe I'll have like oatmeal and that sort of things, which I had yesterday. And then I won't eat again until nighttime, which isn't good. I'm the first person to know that. My trainer's all over me. Come on, you got to eat differently and better. Last night I went to a meeting, and before I left, I was hungry. So about 7 o'clock, I had some leftover. It was a fish stew kind of thing. And then when I came home at 10 o'clock, I threw some vegetables into that and heated it and ate some more of it. But that's not, you know, that's only keeping me from being hungry. Eating dinner before 2 in the afternoon sounds a little silly. A lot of us eat lunch around 2 o'clock if you have lunch. According to a study out today, though, having an early dinner or maybe skipping dinner altogether may increase the amount of fat you burn at night when you are in the sack between those parachute sheets, right?
Right.
And it also helps you curb hunger swings. I woke up this morning, the alarm clock went off, and I'm looking, and I got out of bed, and I thought, man, am I hungry? And maybe that's because I didn't have much before I went to bed last night.
Yeah.
Scientists say that in this test, the first test of so-called early time restricted feeding, they had 11 men and women who were heavy. The participants ate from 8 in the morning to 2, 4 days a week, and then from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on another 4 days. They ate the same daily calorie amounts during both of these time periods, and they found that eating between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., followed by an 18-hour fast, burned more fat and kept appetite levels below where they might have been if you were eating from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., which is what the average American does.
Hmm.
So, anyway, I wonder about your habits. What's your habit, Kara, when you eat? Because we all have odd hours. You get up at 3 in the morning to come into the studio. So do you have anything before you come, or do you eat while you're there sort of when you can?
It's changed over time. I used to eat before I came in, but now it's kind of turned into I normally bring a yogurt with me, and if I remember, I'll eat that during the show. But sometimes I find that even though I get up at 3:30, it'll be 10:30 or 11, and I'll realize I haven't eaten anything.
That's a long time to go.
It's hard, too, because if I do eat before I come, I'll eat before I come in, and then I'll eat after the show, but that's at 10. And then, so, you know, by the time 2 or 3 rolls around, I'm probably hungry again. But then by the time night rolls around, I'm hungry again. So sometimes I'll end up eating 4 meals a day instead of 3. So,
well, if they're smaller meals, it's probably better for you.
That's
under
true.
Under that scenario. Yep. What about you, Victoria? What's your daily habit?
I kind of munch on something during the show, during breaks. So yeah. I'd like to at least have a protein bar by the time the show is over. Mm-hmm. And then I'll eat lunch around like 12, 12:30. And I would like to eat dinner earlier, but I just haven't been good at that lately. So yeah. I definitely have been eating dinner too late. I want to eat it earlier. Yeah, my doctor wants me to eat dinner nothing past 6. I was like, all right, we're going to have to negotiate that. I think 6:30 maybe.
Yeah, but it is. I've had this bad habit all my life.
Yeah.
And it takes me longer to get rid of the winter rule when that's the case. You may firm it up depending on the exercise that you're doing, but it's a tough thing to get around. All right. There's a big overview of tuna again. This is a very controversial subject matter in terms of food, because a lot of people stay away from tuna these days because they fear that it's full of mercury.
Mm.
And to a point, that's right, depending on where it comes from.
Right.
And picking the wrong...
Good luck finding where it's coming from. That's the hardest part.
Right, exactly, because most of it's not packed in the United States anymore.
Right.
And as we all know, it's easier to get bad food into the country from other places where there's no inspection. You try that here, and you can't get away with it. But we still let all this food come in from all over the place. And so one of the things is understanding how to buy a can of tuna. And there's water-packed tuna. There's oil-packed tuna. There's dark meat tuna. There's light meat tuna. There's expensive tuna. There's cheap tuna. And so how do you know?
Tuna in a can freaks me out.
I don't like buying any of that, like chicken in a can and crab meat in a can.
Yeah, you just, I don't know. It looks too similar to my dog's food. It just, I don't trust it.
I used to give Charlotte a lot of tuna, as a matter of fact, and I would take it out of the can, and then think, you buy it in the store, you cook it. You know, the best bottom line here is if you see all of this stuff that's all over the place, a lot of it's from Greenpeace that doesn't like to see tuna fished, and that I understand. But the best guide here, I think, is not to buy canned tuna, period, end of story. Don't buy it. You want to have tuna fish.
What's the warning? Cook it.
Well, because things now are getting cooked in cans. The metal of the can gets into the fish or whatever it is that you're cooking it in. Right. Dog food in a can. That's horrible. Don't do that. Yep. The dog food gets most of the stuff now. They put it raw in the can and they cook it in the can. So the tin that's part of the can gets into the food. Who wants to eat that? You talk about Alzheimer's. That's the reason. That's one of the reasons the tin that's all around us. It's like cooking food in a pot and it gets burned. And then you take a stainless steel Brillo pad and you clean off the bottom of the pot. Well, you've released all of the silver that's there. And so the next time you use that pot, what's left, the remnants of it, you cook the food in it and gets into your body and it goes to your brain. And hello, that's the end of that.
Yeah. I know, that's the thing. So many people don't even realize that we all have a lot of heavy metal toxicity.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways to eliminate it from your diet. I mean, there are things that you can eat, like wild blueberries. There's something in them that really helps eliminate heavy metals.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all have it, and it's environmental, and it's in all the food we eat. If you let that stay in your system, whether you use, you know, fluoride in your toothpaste or aluminum in your antiperspirant. All that contributes.
Yep. Dementia.
It really does.
In a moment, we're going to change our tone and our direction. We're going to be joined by a lady who has some fabulous summer beauty tips. This is important for men and women. And I'll explain again when this lady joins us in a moment here on the DJV Show. The whys and wherefores of the day. Maybe whys could be W-H-Y apostrophe S or a W-I-S-E. Wise people are interested in the information we are going to present. Pandora Amoritis is joining us. She is a style director for the Daily Mail, creating original fashion for the site. So she's got her eye on what's going on. Pandora, let's talk about these summer beauty tips. And by the way, I said before you get on the air, this is important for men to listen to as well, because if they're smart, Mother's Day is around the corner, and the duh factor, get your woman something like these things that we'll talk about here so that you can please her on Mother's Day and set out sort of a good tone for the way to protect your skin, that sort of thing during the summertime, right?
Yeah, and they're all very affordable. And you know what? I would say that men can use them as well.
Yeah. All right. So, shall we start with skin first?
Let's. So, you know, summer is definitely all about a sun-kissed glow, but no one really wants to get that for real. So, my favorite way to go faux is with Saint Tropez's new Express Bronzing Mist. It's a foolproof, convenient way to get that perfect golden glow just in time for summer.
Saint Tropez is the best. That is the absolute number one best bronzer. I use it every year. I love it.
I agree. And, you know, I use it all year long. I don't wait for summer. I use it all year long. So this product that I'm talking about specifically, it's a foolproof, convenient way to just get that perfect golden glow. It has an advanced formulation that gives you a customizable color with zero self-tan smell. So I'm sure you know just how important that is.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. It has a 360-degree nozzle, so you can spray it at every angle on your body. You can use it upside down. It's great for those hard-to-reach places like your back. And you can customize your tan level. So you're going to leave it on for 1 hour for a light tan, 2 hours for a medium tan, and 3 hours for a dark tan. You're going to rinse it off, and then 8 hours later, after that initial application, you're going to have this perfect golden glow. It's absolutely genius. It's only $40, and you can get it at Ulta.
All right, so let's move from the skin then to the hair. What about Victoria's hair?
Okay, we could do hair. Okay, so Herbal Essences, they came out with 9 new collections of shampoo, conditioners, and styling products crafted with their new BioRenew blend, which merges the best of nature and science to revive dull and damaged hair. There is a shampoo and conditioner for every hair need and type, with ingredients like argan oil of Morocco, Arabica coffee fruit, and golden moringa oil. They're only $5.99. You can get them at mass market. For more information, you can go to herbalessences.com. And I have to tell you about these foot treatments, because they're also just so great.
Hands
for
and feet. Medicare.
Men and women.
Pedicure.
Absolutely.
Manny and pedi.
All about, yes, it's all about flip-flops and open-toe shoes for summer. So it's really important to keep your feet in tip-top shape. We tend to give our faces all the love, but the love on our skin, the skin on our toes, soles, and heels, often gets the shaft, but it's just as important. I'd love to tell you about these 3 new specialty foot treatments from the UK's Seventh Heaven, which is a great line of DIY face, hand, and foot masks. They're effective, they're inexpensive, and they're loaded with natural ingredients. They contain pampering botanicals and luscious scents that leave your feet feeling relaxed, refreshed, and smelling sweet. The first item I'd like to tell you about is a duo sachet. It's a foot soak and a foot lotion. It's a 2-part moisturizing and softening treatment. So first, it's a soak. The soak has a refreshing juiced pink grapefruit. You put it in water. You're going to soak your feet for about 10 minutes. Then you're going to take them out. You're going to moisturize with this fantastic fresh mint scent. It really smells so great, and it leaves your feet feeling like a baby's bottom. Your feet really feel so soft afterwards.
Baby's bottom. All right. Give us one more quickie.
So just like your face and body, exfoliation on the feet is key too. There's a foot pumice foot butter. The pumice uses pressed peppermint and ground pumice to buff away dry, dead skin. Then you're going to moisturize with a creamy shea butter. The last one is a quick fix. It's the Seventh Heaven Fresh Feet cream formula that dries to a silky powder.
All right. Good job, Pandora. Thank you for being here. 10 before the hour. This is movie music. It's not really. It's a theme from a movie with Kurt Russell, Escape from New York. There was an Escape from L.A., too, wasn't there, Trucker? Don't I remember that?
Yes, it was the sequel about 10 years later.
Yeah. Kurt Russell, how would you describe his career?
It's been pretty solid. He may not be known to some people as the big A-list iconic, but he's a B-plus. He originally was one of those Disney stars. He did a movie in 1969 called A Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, and his career really changed when he did collaborations with John Carpenter, the first being Escape from New York, when he put on an eye patch as the character of Snake Plissken. Gave a totally different aura and feel in the industry. Then he did a movie called Big Trouble in Little China, and he also did the remake of The Thing. 3 really iconic John Carpenter movies that changed the way people looked at Kurt Russell. And he's worked consistently, has had a great career, and will star in 2 of the summer's biggest movies. One, he's currently in Fate of the Furious, really cool in that movie. And then he plays a small but important part in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I believe he plays Chris Pratt's father, Star-Lord's, the character's father in that film.
How much does a guy like this, is that a couple of million? What does a guy like that get paid for being in these movies?
Well, I'm not his accountant, so I'm not sure. But I'm gonna say he probably gets a solid five. He probably gets a solid $5 million.
Yeah. Okay. That's
somewhere in that vicinity, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a favorite Kurt Russell movie?
What is?
Do you have a favorite Kurt Russell movie?
No, I think he's. Played a part in a movie, and now I'm trying to think of what the name of it was.
I'll tell you 3 movies you might like. He was really good in that movie, Executive Decision. I like the movie Breakdown, where his car breaks down on the highway, and they kidnap his wife.
Yeah.
That was really good. And he was also good as the Olympic hockey coach, Herb Brooks, in that movie Miracle. Though he was terrific in that film.
Yeah. What about Overboard? That's his best role.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, they're going to remake that movie, actually. They're actually going to remake that movie.
Really?
No, but is it a chick flick? It sounds like it must be.
It is, but it's...
They're going to do a reversal.
He starred in it with Goldie Hawn. They're great together in it.
Chris Pratt's wife, who's on that show, Moms?
Anna Faris, yeah.
Yeah, she's going to star in the remake of Overboard.
Oh, she's good. Right. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, Chucker gives us some more movie news. All right, so Chucker, beside the focus on the fate of the Furious, there's this movie Colossal that's coming out. Jason Sudeikis, who I don't understand, he's in a lot of stuff. I guess he's a solid actor. He just doesn't, I don't know what the big deal is.
He's married to Olivia Wilde, you know.
All right, I think I knew that, yeah. So he's in this movie with Anne Hathaway. What's going on there?
I saw the trailer. I think it's going to be more of an art house movie than a general wide release. Got good reviews at film festivals.
Yeah.
I think she plays a character who's actually, a big monster in the movie. It's a very bizarre-looking concept.
Here's the review that I saw. Immensely strange, enormously entertaining. So let's see.
She's really good. I like her a lot. You like her?
Yeah, I did until I saw her wandering around New York smoking a butt, and then I kind of...
You know, if I stay on this show long enough, you'll like something.
I know. All right, so tell me, what do you have for movie news that...
I was speaking of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I said yesterday the advance buzz, really good. For people who don't know, Sylvester Stallone, who's not been in any of the trailers, has a small but important part in that movie, and his character, reportedly, will be in further installments, so good for him. And there's 5 end-of-credit sequences in the end credits of that. I think that's the most... end credit sequences in any one movie. 5. So if you see it, stay after the credits.
Okay, good. Thank you. Follow Chuck Curry, speaking of credit, at Poseidon72 and listen to his weekly podcast, Movie Maniacs, on iTunes and Audio Boom. Chuck Curry, Doug Steffen, Victoria Keelan, 59 After.